Look, Matt.
Where?
Oh, I see.
Wow. Why?
Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that culture?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling. And it's been a time since we've said that. A fortnight or eight.
It's been technically five fortnights, 10 weeks or something like that.
I believe you when you say that is what that is.
But truly, like, in our new home here in the Cosmo Lofts in Los Angeles, this is so fun.
We've already messed up parking.
We've messed up parking.
We should tell them, you guys, we parked in the wrong lot.
In the wrong lot.
So, yeah, well, anyway, we'll talk about validation later.
It's fine. It was just $10. They said, we close at midnight, but the gate's open so you can walk in. The girl was very nice and, you know.
She was actually lovely, and I loved her, the color of her hair, which was blue.
Purple, and your colorblindness is
showing. Actually am. So for anyone that's new to the pod, I'm colorblind. Yeah. I'm so happy this is the first thing you get to know about me. Before you ask, I'm red-green colorblind, and that is my specific handicap.
And see, I think you're not picking up on the red tint to the purple, and so it looks blue.
I think that's what it is.
I'm no scientist, but that's my theory.
Well, nearly a doctor, and that's the first thing you can know about Bowen Yang if you're new to the podcast.
Also, I mean, I'm sure we're just getting the old audience. I don't know if we're picking up new people.
Honey, I don't think you know the reach of iHeartRadio, a conglomerate, hun.
Ooh.
Now, here's the real tea. We took a photo shoot today.
That's the real tea. And I gotta say, it was my fault because it was slightly disorganized up top because I told you to bring a certain sort of story to your clothes.
Bowen said bring a series of neutrals.
And I brought instead one loud embroidered floral shirt and just a gray sweatshirt.
Which is
technically a neutral, but it's not like the neutral in what I showed you, like a mood board-ish type thing.
And I think that Bowen was making an effort to destabilize me. And I think he wanted to throw me off.
Well, first of all, we should say that the word destabilized has sort of entered into...
re-entered the lexicon.
Into the gay lexicon specifically. Our friend George Severus brought it back in, and you're using it everywhere, every chance you get.
I feel destabilized at all times.
You'll sort of sub it in for certain words. You're like, on the gay text thread, you're just like, guys, I have to share something with the thread. Josh destabilized.
Yeah, Josh Sharp. I actually want to announce it on the podcast. Years ago, Josh Sharp cornered me in a gay bar, and he destabilized me. And by destabilize me, I mean he tried to kiss me and I consensually kissed him back.
Okay, but it was
destabilizing. And it was very destabilizing, and I'm actually using this word correctly and powerfully.
Yes, absolutely.
And I take my space.
And you take your space. And you know who is destabilizing but restabilizing?
Oh my God, our guest.
Our guest.
Can I say that, talk about shaking it up.
Oh my
and,
God.
And killing and slaying and turning and whopping and nailing. And I don't just say nailing.
I know.
Because of the show Nailed It, which she hosts. And by the way, can I say, and I don't think so, honey?
What?
To the damn Emmys. Because how come they nominated the show and not the queen? It's actually Real Culture number 8. You can't nominate the show and not the queen.
You know what?
It's stupid.
Her and Jacques both deserve noms.
No, just her.
Okay.
I'm in a fight with Jacques. He destabilized me.
He destabilized you.
I actually invite him to destabilize me.
Jacques, we can get into this with our guest, but Jacques feels like the nicest French person you've ever seen in the world. Yeah, okay. We got to talk about this.
Confirmed by the guest. Now, there's a lot of other things about the guest.
There's a lot of plugs. So first of all, you can catch her live. She's going to be at the Arlington Improv March 6th, 7th, and 8th, and then she's going to be in Nashville March 26th, 27th, and 28th. She has a book coming out called #VeryFat. #VeryBrave, the fat girl's guide to being #brave and not a dejected, melancholy, down in the dumps, weeping fat girl in a bikini.
A destabilizing title.
A destabilizing
title. If
I've
ever heard one.
And of course, she's the host of the incredible, incredible show Nailed It. And she's the host of several podcasts.
Several.
Why newcomers. Won't you date me? Why Won't You Date Me? Drag
Best
Her.
Friends.
Best Friends with Sisters and Made Up.
And I want to say something. I did Why Won't You Date Me? We had an amazing time doing that podcast, and I have never in my life received more pictures of the dicks and buttholes of men.
There was a call to action in the
episode. There was a call, because we actually discussed how I never receive nudes, because our guest receives a plentiful amount of nudes. A destabilizing amount, imagine. You might say. And I said, well, I've never gotten one, and she sounded the alarm.
Yes, yes.
And the floodgates, honey.
You're welcome.
Yes.
Swung open. So,
but who is she?
Well, please welcome to your ears,
Nicole Byer!
Oh, what a treat!
A moment in time.
A moment in time.
Truly so hard to not guffaw laughing. enjoyed that banter up top.
Well,
we're destabilized. Just
I fucking love that.
Well, how are you feeling? Stable or destabilized? Yeah. Lately?
I'm constantly being destabilized. I'm just in these streets being like, oh.
I'm destabilized. Talk about this date you're about to go on. Can you share anything about it? Or you don't have to. I'm putting you on the spot.
She is a sharer.
Okay,
though.
No, don't. I can tell that it's a little
she
sensitive.
She likes the man.
She likes him. Okay, we don't have to talk
about
great.
It.
Great. I'm sorry. I'm like immediately making
no,
you uncomfortable.
No, it's okay.
Up
you're
top.
Not making me no. You would know if you made me uncomfortable because okay. I would be like, you have to stop.
Stop it.
Like I did a live show where I was on stage with all the comics and one comic got on stage and there was this weird energy and I was like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Like I just said it. I'll just say it.
Yes, yes.
You get into it with audience members though because I feel like for some reason they often get into it with you.
They love screaming at me.
What is
because
this?
Because it's like an unearned familiarity that they think that
yes.
they have.
Yeah, and it's so sad because half the time it's so nice. So I threw a lady out of my show in New York recently because I said I injured myself as a setup to like a story.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, on the pole, because I pole dance and I put it on Instagram. And I was like, what? And she was like, we love your moves. And it's like a nice heckle. But I was like, you got to get the fuck up out of here.
Yeah, you got to go.
You drunk, loving woman. Like, you got to go home and hug a teddy bear or something. Like, you're too drunk to be here.
And now, it's not even that. It was just the energy had to leave. You couldn't, even though it was positive, ultimately, you couldn't have it.
No, because then I was like, well, if I let her stay and scream at me, what if, you know, Stephanie over here wants to tell me a story?
Of course.
And then, God forbid, a straight man feels he can get involved.
They don't come to my show.
They don't come?
No.
Is it the women and the gays?
The women, the gays. Yep. Those are my people.
Those are the peeps.
Sometimes I get straight men. At my live show in San Francisco, I was like, who here is straight? And there was like, woo.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I was like, who here is single? And literally nothing.
Wow.
Not my demo.
No, I mean, come on.
But what is it?
But
because we don't get straights either.
We don't get straights either. I think it's because they have other things to watch. And they have podcasts that cater specifically and aggressively to them. And we actually drag them quite a bit on our podcast, I would imagine.
Not too much. I don't know. But it's like, what is it about that demo that's like so sequestered from the rest of like what's good?
I don't know. I also, I don't listen to like, I don't really listen to podcasts.
Yeah.
But like, let alone like hosted by a straight man.
Yeah, no.
I'm like, what are you, don't even talk to your friends. So you're going to sit down and listen to some other man talk?
Yeah.
What is that? What does that entail?
I will say that sometimes mm-hmm. I will curiously peek over to the YouTube channel of one Joe Rogan. Because I'm fascinated because his podcast is so huge. It's crazy.
Uh-huh.
And he, does he release an episode every day?
I think so.
It's twice like, a week or something?
Twice a week?
I don't know. I'm just making this
Who's
up.
Who's ever... Well, I have 5 podcasts. So like truly every work day of the week, you can listen to me talk about something.
No, Purple. But like that's the thing is it's just his is so huge and so crazy. And then when he came out and endorsed Bernie Sanders, remember the moment that was?
Oh boy.
Yeah, the firestorm.
Oh boy.
Sure.
But it's just... and that, so sometimes...
I don't.
Oh, yeah, no, this was news. Yeah. So Joe Rogan came out.
2016.
No. Recently.
Oh.
Yes, so much has happened in the last 2-3 years that you're just like, I don't fucking know.
It all collapses.
You could tell me that dolphins started walking the earth, and I'd be like, okay.
Yeah,
sounds right.
Did you know it was 70 degrees in Antarctica 2 days ago?
We're going to die.
Yeah.
We're all going to die.
But could you fucking believe that?
70 degrees?
The temperature neared 70 degrees
Fahrenheit.
What are
the polar bears doing?
Girl.
Oh my God!
They're not blessing it up.
This is insane.
It could be this thing where it's like I read it and like, but it was a reputable thing. I think it was the Washington Post.
Okay.
Okay.
And you know those girls do the research.
They do the research.
They've got departments.
70 degrees.
They have departments.
They do.
Honestly,
that's
wild. What do you want me to do with that information, Matt? Why do you bring this up? Because now I'm stressed
out. So now we stop ordering from Amazon and we we all buy Priuses.
Yeah. And we don't go to Equinox Gym.
That was my favorite. I was like,
moment.
You bitches, come on.
Yeah.
Every owner of every corporation that
Trump
you
supporter.
Love is bad. That's how they get their money.
Yes. Yes.
That's how they get their tax breaks.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Someone was like, I was like, well, we obviously, I had like a I had like a reaction to it. I was like, well, I hope that everyone, you know, stops going to Equinox. And they were like, you are a Disney gay. You give millions of dollars, probably at this point over my life.
You're a Disney gay?
Yeah.
You love Disney?
So is he.
So am I.
You love Disney?
Nicole, you're a Disney gay.
You are a Disney gay.
I do have a full 10-minute joke in my set currently about Disney.
I loved that. I saw that and I did.
Thank you.
I live.
And then there's truly a chunk for Disney gays. Like there's three jokes in a row that is for specifically RuPaul's Drag Race watching Disney gays.
Yes.
That's us. That's us.
That is
very
us.
Specific.
I mean, honestly, that is us in a nutshell.
Did we talk about this on the mic, the Nicole's flight attendant joke, which I love. It's just a, she like, you have the whole setup to it is this other story that like, mm-hmm. is this other joke about being on a plane, but then you have a quick little tag where you're just like, no, I also just want to say all male flight attendants are gay. They just
And it's
are.
So funny because I say, I don't want to stereotype or
yes,
generalize.
No, but it's
all male flight attendants. And then people will be like, well, you are generalizing and stereotyping when you say all. And I'm like, whoa, okay.
No.
So we just don't understand jokes.
Yeah.
It's that no. And it's also people confuse a stereotype with a negative image. Mm-hmm. And just yes. because many male flight attendants are gay does not mean that it's like you're placing some value judgment by being like, that's yeah. a stereotype. That means that's on you for making it like
a negative yeah. thing. I don't think it's negative. I love my gay flight attendants. They give me booze when I'm not in first.
There you go.
They're nice to me no matter where I am on the plane.
Uh-huh.
One gave me 3 cookies.
Do they give you like a knowing look? They're like, they know who you are.
No, I look like a little boy when I travel. I wear like a little hat, makeup. I wear little Harry Potter glasses.
I will never forget your Delta story where the piece of crap came out of the blanket.
We just spoke about this. A little piece of poo.
No, it was not a little piece. It was a
sizable piece of shit?
It was like a half fist sized piece of shit. And...
So like not even like a baby poop, like a human's
poop. A
full-grown adult human poop.
Yes. And Delta theorized that they thought it was a disgruntled employee.
Yes.
And I was like, so you figured it out. Because I kept being like, I don't know, an animal, a baby, an adult?
Yes.
And they were like, disgruntled employee. And
it's so funny that they were like, it must be a disgruntled employee. It must be us. It must be the way that we treated one of our employees.
Honestly,
was so wretched.
I felt like I was being gaslit because they kept being like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
And I had to keep saying some shit in my blanket.
And you were like, no, probably a raccoon got on the plane. Yeah. Maybe there was like something happened. And they're like, no, oh, sweetie, it was us.
And the reason why I stood by my story is because the flight attendant, who was super gay, I told him there was shit in my blanket, and he went, girl, no. In a way that he thought we were, like, having fun.
No!
And I was like, girl, yes. And then he, like, truly pranced in a way, like, with someone, like, gleeful, like a surprise at Christmas.
Yeah.
And then he, like, looked at it and went, oh, my God, that's a piece of shit. Like, and, like, his head was bopping, and then he went and got his phone and took a picture, and I was like, I don't know if that was that was supposed to go down. And then I was like, I have to go? And he was like, okay, girl.
Honestly, did you get off the plane?
Yes, I had a connecting flight. I had to get back to L.A.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And then I tweeted at Delta because I was like, I can't let this
go. This is not something
that
goes swept under the rug.
Yeah, and I took a picture of my little blanket treat, and it was like a little grainy, and I kept being like, I'm so sorry it wasn't clearer. And then finally someone at Delta goes, it's not your fault. You took a grainy picture of the piece of shit that you found in the blanket.
You actually don't have to apologize more time, like, or ever again.
I think about it every time I open up like a little plastic wrapped blanket on
the
plane.
They do not wash these blankets. They get washed like every couple months. So I read this like very in-depth article, and it was confirmed by someone at an airline that they wash them every couple months. But like what happens when they like clean the plane is they hold, like they gather them up, they bring them to a facility. At the facility, they just hold them up and eyeball them and then fold them back up and put them into the bags
God.
And then they get vacuum sealed. The little pillowcases, they don't get washed.
Oh my God. It's crazy, but you're like, of course they don't. There's not
time. They don't have time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then your tray table never gets wiped down unless you wipe it down. Or it gets wiped down in the morning and then in the evening, I think. But like if it's making 3 or 4 trips, that's 3 or 4 other people who are touching, and you don't know what the fuck they're doing. And then the people who get me are the barefoot fucking Betties.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you doing?
Which doesn't even fall along lines of like coach or first class.
No.
Like, people do it everywhere.
Yes.
But I want to ask a question. It's okay that I take my shoes off and keep my socks on.
Yeah.
No.
What do you mean?
No. Then you're going to slip them nasty puppies back in your shoes?
Girl, but your I haven't had the sick. Same experience where there's poop everywhere. I don't know where I'm going.
You're just
I'm not walking down the aisle with the socks
never,
on.
Never, never, never. I have done it once in my life. Like, one time I just could not get my shoe on because it was like a real tight seat. So I was like, fuck it. And I got up and I walked my sock-covered feet to the bathroom. Yeah. And then once I was in there, I was like, I can't believe this. But I have seen people with bare feet go into the restroom.
Oh, me too. This one lady was sitting next to me. She was caressing the wall with her nasty fucking toes.
Oh!
And then she got up to the bathroom with her bare-ass feet and then came out of the bathroom and said to the flight attendant, there's something on the floor. And I was like, I mean, this is on you. Like, who?
Fuck.
Of course there's something on the floor of the bathroom. It's an airplane. They're disgusting. Oh, she
God,
was so
you need
gross.
To host an expose documentary. A six-part.
Oh, yeah, you should.
Expose on all airlines.
There's a video on Instagram. This girl breaks it down for you. She's like, don't drink the coffee or the tea. It comes from water tanks that are never cleaned.
All I do is drink the coffee.
Say? Yeah, don't.
And it does taste weird.
Yeah, don't.
This is a video on Instagram? She has it.
Yeah, it's on Instagram. It was like Inside Edition. Because Inside Edition be doing the Lord's
yes,
work.
Yeah,
hotels
yes.
don't change the fucking sheets in between
right,
people.
Right.
No!
But and then again, you say, of course they don't, because they don't have the time.
They don't have the time.
My ass is in there being like, hi, I know I'm an hour and a half early, but I need to get in my room right now. Uh-huh. And they're like, okay, sir.
Yeah, they're like, great, we didn't change the sheets for you.
It's
you know how
true.
You like get in a bed sometimes and you're like, this smells like a person. It's because somebody just slept in it.
I've known this, but hearing you like clarify it is so chilling.
Yes, it's gross. So Inside Edition, there's another video on Instagram where they like put that UV spray on sheets and then check into the hotel, spray it, check out. And I don't know how they check back into the same room.
Right.
But they did, and then they like put the light on it, and it's still there. And then they would confront the managers, and the managers would be like, "No, no, we changed them." And they're like, "Look at this," and they're like, "Oh, no, no questions, please. No photos, no questions."
But at this point, like, you have to be, as Shangela called it on this podcast, Delta Diamond Fish,
which is that Nicole's
that means
Delta
you have
diamond.
The diamond status.
Yes, I'm a diamond diva. That's
diamond.
It's a meatballism. I love meatball. She's my favorite queen. But yes, I'm a diamond diva.
A diamond diva.
I used to be a Delta 360.
What is that?
What is that?
A secret club.
No.
Where they send you Tiffany's crystals.
Shut up.
Wait, so then
what,
why
from
are
flying
you in
a million
anymore?
Miles?
I think it might be the shit.
The
because
shit.
I do still fly it almost the same amount, if not more. But they pick you up if you have a connecting flight. This still sometimes happens.
Yeah.
If you have a connecting flight, some man in a suit will be there with your name and then take you downstairs into a Porsche, drive you on the tarmac to your next gate
Amazing.
So you make your flight.
Oh, that's incredible.
It's nice. The first time it happened, I was so high and he had my name on it and I was like, mm-mm. And he was wearing a suit and I was like, is he a cop?
Yeah, no, there's no way I would believe that.
But then finally I was like, I'm her. He's like, why didn't you say so earlier? I was like, I don't know, I thought I was in trouble.
You look like the shadiest motherfucker ever.
It's not hospitality. It's
but then
crazy.
All of a sudden, it's like you're stoned. You go with a man with a suit who knows your name, takes you down to the like street part of the airport.
Yes.
I'm calling it the street
the
part.
Street
it's
part.
The runway.
The tarmac.
Street part.
You know, the street part.
Yeah, the street part. The plane
on the road. And then they drive you up to the damn plane.
It is opulence at its best because then everyone stares at you. And truly, I travel like a little boy.
Yeah.
I have very bad acne scars. I wear little Harry Potter glasses. I got my little hat on, my backpack. And they're like, why is she special? And I'm like, because I am.
You have no idea my powers.
I love it.
They don't know they're watching you on the flicks.
Oh, that's the best part is when you like get special treatment somewhere in public and people like look at you and they're just like confused.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The best part is that you they can imagine whatever they want. It doesn't matter. It doesn't make a difference. You're still getting the special.
This is like Bowen and our friend Dave Mazzoni and I went to Universal Studios, and Bowen works for the national broadcasting company, Universal.
Come on
and
now.
So we got this pass that allowed us to like go to the front of the line, which was only Bowen and Make-A-Wish kids were getting it.
It's the Make-A-Wish pass.
Very funny.
And so basically like we were just like walking up and giving them the pass and because he's an employee of the company.
Right.
And everyone would look at us like, oh, okay. Come with us, sweetheart. like it could have been our last days.
So funny.
It was chilling in a way.
Yeah, it was like, but the way that some people would they would take the little, it was called the Golden Gap Pass.
Yeah,
they would take it in their hands and they would say, "Oh, it's now my responsibility to show you a good time. Come with me." And like slowly walking us, and are you enjoying your day? Is it good? We're like, yeah.
Forced kindness is so upsetting, but I do love it.
It's professional forced kindness.
I love it.
Wait, talk to us about, because we cut this short, newcomers. So it's you and Lauren Lapkus watching the Star Wars movies.
We were discussing this before we got on the air.
Neither one of us had seen them, and then someone on Twitter.
Star Wars. So Lauren Lapkus, Nicole Byer, watching Star Wars for the first time, and it's a podcast about it.
And we're doing it in order of release. So 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, gotta say, really confusing that way.
Yes.
Because you're like, wait, what? Palpatine, what? I just watched Return of the Sith. Sith's coming.
Revenge of the Sith.
Sith's coming.
And Palpatine, when he turns into that potato thing, it's like from The Exorcist.
It
and
sure
everyone's
is.
Just chill with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have issues with the chill factor of everybody.
Sure.
See, okay, so I want to ask, because I actually am a Star Wars queen. Do you consider yourself a Star Wars queen?
Sort of. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be right back with Nicole Byer. Okay, and we're back with Nicole.
Yes. So But here's the thing. I grew up on them. Short thoughts on each of the films. The first one, A New Hope. How are you feeling?
Trash. Okay.
Now,
too much desert.
A lot of desert.
And it's almost like an indie space movie.
Right, exactly.
Well, because
it was technically a Western.
What?
Well, they're actually space Westerns. They really are.
Oh.
So they formulaically do follow a Western. So that was the whole idea that George Lucas had, was I'm going to make a Western in space.
Wow.
Yes.
Learning new things that I will never retain.
You got to say this on newcomers. Okay, give thoughts on Empire Strikes Back.
I liked Empire Strikes Back. That was the one with the Ewoks?
Return of the Jedi.
Oh, okay.
So Empire Strikes Back is when they go to the Cloud City with Billy Dee Williams.
Yes. I love Billy Dee.
Yes. Mm-mm. Billy Dee is very good in it.
Yeah, Lando Calrissian.
Lando Calrissian, but I like Lando Cruzan better. I like Miss Cruzan.
Okay. And then Return of the Jedi.
Return of the Jedi was Ewok Town, like Cuckoo.
Love
Jabba the
Hutt. Jabba's great. I love that. Was that the opening scene in Jabba? No, that's just a
it's
scene
when
in the
he's got Carrie Fisher in a gold bikini.
Honestly.
On a leash.
Wow. Like,
it is iconic.
Looking at Carrie Fisher's body, yada, yada. Oh my God, all that coke did you good.
Yeah.
How do we cut that out? Can we do that? Yeah. I maybe not keep that
she
in.
I would say the spirit of Carrie Fisher knows she was on coke and would be cool enough to admit it.
Okay.
In fact, in her book, she was like so like she was like
upfront about it.
She was like flipping through the movie. This part I was zoned out on coke. This part I was zoned out on coke. The way she delivers the line, like when there's a scene where I'm a freak for Star Wars. There's a scene where like she unfreezes Han Solo, hot Harrison Ford, out of the cryogenically
the
thing.
Oh, yeah, not the carbonite.
He said, "Who is that?" And she goes, she takes off her mask and she goes, "Someone who loves you." And it's like, she was zoned out on coke at that point. Apparently the Hoth part, which is the ice planet in Empire Strikes Back, they came out a few years ago and said everyone was on tons of coke doing that.
Oh my God.
I mean, I think that's just how movies got made back in the day.
Everyone
was just coked up.
Well, you know that Dennis Quaid said on Watch What Happens Live that in some of his movies, there was a thinly veiled coke budget.
Oh my God.
In movies in the 80s had like, disguised in the budgeting. They had
that's
like
amazing.
Coke. Yeah.
I want to time travel to that.
Yes.
I want to time travel and then also morph into a white woman so I get treated better.
So I can do coke all the time and get off scot-free. Okay, so those are the originals. We have mixed feelings. The new ones with Natalie Portman.
Natalie is trying her hardest to carry young Anakin because Hayden Christensen. My God, is a brick. He truly emotes nothing. So then when he turns into Darth Vader, you're just like, okay.
Yeah.
Sure, whatever. Mm. He's like a wet blanket. He is so fucking boring. They have zero fucking chemistry.
Nah.
And then I'm like, who's doing Natalie Portman's hair? It's different in every fucking scene.
Yes. Well, she got those queen hairstylists.
But nobody's ever with her.
That's true.
Where are they at?
Are we to believe that she's doing her own updos?
Oh.
No, because there's a scene where she's brushing curls. And I was like, there's no way She's doing her own hair. She's brushing out curls.
George Lucas directing. Okay, so you're in the corner brushing your curly hair. Nally's like, okay, I'm dead inside doing this.
Whatever. I cashed the check already. But the movie I loved the most was the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Oh, what is that? I don't think we've seen it.
You've never seen
it? No.
Diane Carroll sings a song in it.
Is she an alien?
Bea Arthur is credited as Beatrice Arthur. She is in it. There is a drag queen who is a cooking show.
This came out in the 80s?
Yes, girl. It is a mess. I've never laughed harder. The first 10 minutes is Chewbacca and his family. Or no, Chewbacca's away, so it's his family just going.
Chewbacca's away. Wow,
so it's his family.
He's on a mission with Han Solo.
Oh, yeah.
And so his dad is Itchy, his son is Lumpy, and then his wife's name is Mal, which is bad in Spanish. And she's like a bad wife. She can't cook. She also like puts on an apron at one point. You're like, you're naked.
Yeah.
It's honestly so special.
So, oh my okay, God. So you've the Star Wars Holiday Special ranks among the your
It is
your
number
top,
1 for me.
It ranks number 1. Have you seen the new ones?
No, that's next. And I just watched the trailer for
Force Awakens.
Uh-huh. And I'm like into it, even though I'm like, who the fuck are these people?
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know who nobody is.
Well, it's original characters.
You see original characters. It's beat for beat A New Hope.
So Force Awakens like essentially recreates A New Hope in a way for the kids now.
Oh.
But the two new ones, there are turns.
Go way off.
Yeah.
I still haven't seen Rise of Skywalker.
I like Rise of Skywalker, and I'm very unpopular for this opinion, and I cannot wait to listen to hear what you think, because I think that the like campiness of like the old movies are actually what people loved about them and have been what's missing from them.
But don't you think that there was camp, there was some camp element to 1, 2, and 3, though?
I think
a little bit. You're breaking my heart.
Yeah, but I don't think that they knew that it was camp.
But I think it was camp done wrong. So like the announcers in Phantom Menace during the pod chasing scene, they say is going to last 30 minutes and then it does.
Yeah.
Because George Lucas don't understand that things don't have to be in real time.
Yep.
Those announcers are super camp. It's like, for what? We didn't need that. Yeah. That's like the wrong type of camp.
Yeah. And also, you also got Jar Jar Binks.
Bruce Vilanch was a writer on the holiday special.
So
that gives you an idea of how campy it is.
We love that.
Good.
It's great.
Yeah. I'm excited to see what you think about it. And also, I would request, I know we spoke about Disney before, you have your thoughts, but you and Lapkus
should
go to Galaxy's Edge.
Yes.
But we need to figure out how to be important people and not wait in lines.
I feel like Jurassic, I was going to say maybe there's like a Lapkus Jurassic World connection, that's Universal.
I feel like you guys will. Let's put the call out there. If you have some connection to Disney to help Nicole and Lauren sort of
please
help them.
You got to get them on the Rise of the Resistance. That's the new big ride.
Is that
there.
Good?
We're doing it soon.
It,
I've done it and it's amazing.
Is it a roller coaster?
It's like a it's like a Disney ride. It's like you get in a little car, they take you around, and it's like, oh God, things are going wrong. That was my impression of a droid.
That's good. That's R2.
That's very R2-ish.
So then, that's really good. Do you, but then watching it now, do you understand Lauren?
Lauren, daddy.
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 He's passed on 2 of us.
Oh my God. He passed on the 2 of us as a package deal. Is that what you're saying?
No, he's passed on Nicole and I, you bitch.
Stop it. Stop. Oh my God.
Not everything's about you.
Wait, are you watching the Star Wars things now and being like, I understand the cultural importance this has, or no? Are you very confused by it?
It's so confusing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But and then like all of the characters have the wildest names, and then like every movie will have a normal name. Like in Revenge of the Sith, there's a character named Commander Cody.
Yeah.
But then there's like Nabu Dab, and I'm like, what?
Nabu Dhabi.
The fuck?
It is so funny the way that when you realize that like they didn't just stumble into the world with these names, like someone had to name them.
Yes.
And that man's name was George Lucas, and he was like, this is Boon de Trey, and she's a pilot, the greatest one, and that's Narnoon. It's like, what?
Narnoon. Also, his son is in Revenge of the Sith, and his son's name is Jet, and his character's name is Zet. I think I got that right, but it's
Jet
like
and
Zet. So
Jet
close.
And Zet.
Also, you know what Revenge of the Sith offers? An amazing instance of No!
No! That's Cam.
Matt Bowen, when I tell you, I was just sitting on my floor enjoying mm-hmm. the movie, and that moment happened.
Yeah.
I laughed maybe yeah. so hard that my neighbors were like, someone's dying.
Yeah.
I laughed so hard. It is so jarring.
It's and
I
was from like, nowhere.
Did they ask him to like deaden his voice to sound like Hayden Christensen?
It was
no.
Because it was because they did get
it was James Earl Jones.
They did get James Earl Jones himself yes. to say no.
Yes.
Poor man.
It's so funny.
They should go to prison.
And then I shouldn't have laughed when he got all burnt up, but like
it was graphic.
It was so wild. I was like, this is a children's movie.
It wasn't a crazy I think it was like the first one that was rated PG-13.
Yes, yeah. It was.
Because of his graphic burning
yes.
body.
Yeah. Yes. And then they just stick him in that black suit. And I'm yeah. like, you need oxygen to heal burns. Like he stinks, you know? Like, girl. Ugh.
It's all
they're a mess.
It's all a mess, but that's why people like them.
You know what? I am starting to see why people like it. Right. Because it is silly and it is fun.
Yes.
That's, I guess, why whenever anyone is like, fuck these movies, they're not like they used to be. It's like, no, you are just a grown adult.
Yes.
You fool.
Yeah. You fool.
You fool.
These fools, they think that like these movies are going to like hit them in the gut the way they did when they were mm-hmm. a child. It's like, and then people are like reading Daisy Ridley for her acting. And I'm like, have you seen Mark Hamill act? We love the girl.
We love the girl. But what are you saying? That she's as good as Mark Hamill?
I'm saying that she is doing what the other girls did not do,
right.
which is give a performance. Uh-huh. And meanwhile, Mark Hamill's like, oh, I'm down the Dagobah system.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Daisy Ridley is like giving you single tear. Adam Driver is giving you Adam Driver.
Is he Cluck-Low Ren?
Cluck-Low Ren?
Kylo.
It's actually it's rule of culture number 11. Is he Cluck-Low Ren?
Cluck-Low Ren.
He is Cluck-Low Ren. Would you fuck Adam Driver /Cluck-Low Ren?
In a heartbeat. Yeah. Are okay. You kidding? That's fine.
We discussed this.
He has this like quiet intensity to him. I mean, I've never met him. This is what I am perceiving. Just like a quiet intensity that he would like drill my hole.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. Well, if you've seen Girls, you know that he's a real hole driller.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
or at least
God.
The character of Adam in the show was.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Can you believe
that he was in Girls?
This is something so crazy
to
me.
Is this where you're about
to go down?
This
is something so crazy to me. The way that Adam Driver became famous was as the weirdest fuckboy in Greenpoint.
Yeah.
He now has an action figure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy what can happen for men.
Nominated for an Oscar. Yeah.
And two times.
Two times.
Wait,
yeah.
Two times.
Marriage Story.
The Marriage Story. And of course.
Wait, no, the one time.
No, I believe he was nominated for another Oscar.
For supporting. Look it up. Well, we look this up. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with Nicole Byer.
And we're back with Nicole Byer and the information that Adam Driver was nominated for Best Supporting Actor for BlacKkKlansman.
Oh, that's right.
Oh.
Which you forget.
And he was great in it.
I must say this. I like the movie, but I really hated that the last image of the movie was a white woman.
Of BlacKkKlansman?
Yeah. Wait, so the last image was that woman who was killed, I think in North Carolina.
Oh, Heather. And like, Heather.
I get that her death was like bad. Yeah, you know, death is bad.
Charlottesville.
But
compared to the suffering of the millions of black people.
I was like, this is a black movie. Why was the last image we see of a white woman?
I think.
Oh, I'm gonna get red for that.
Well,
no.
Boy. It's art, and art is up for critique.
All right, iHeartRadio has a wide reach. They're gonna come for me.
Look, we can cut around it if need be.
No, we're not gonna cut around it. Just like we're gonna make sure that we feature the part where Nicole says that Carrie Fisher did coke. Because guess what? It's actually rule of culture number 20. Carrie Fisher did coke.
And she
did coke.
And she had a healthy distance from it after sobriety.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. She did.
So it's fine.
Real fact, though, about Carrie Fisher, she did become addicted to coke later in her life, but Coca-Cola, the soda.
Oh, that has coke. It used to have cocaine in it. It
sure did.
Which is so much fun that someone's like, let's make drugs bubbly.
Yeah, and drinkable.
Yeah, let's drink these drugs.
You're a big stoner, right?
Not a huge stoner, but I do like an edible.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know where I went last night? Lowell Farms. The weed cafe.
Oh, it's
cafe.
Like a weed cafe. Is there food or just weed?
There's food. There's like weed food. There's weed drinks, which is why I bring this up. Weed drinks.
I like them.
This is the first one I had ever had. It was so interesting.
Okay.
Was it like a CBD or like weed?
I mean, I think it was weed.
Because Gracias Madre has like CBD infused.
I've had a CBD like latte and it put me to bed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which it will do.
Was Lowell Farms fun?
It was fun. It actually was like really cool. I will say this though. You would not be surprised to hear the service was like
terrible.
Stoned. The girl waiting on us was like, "All right, guys, absolutely. Are you guys like having the best time?" It's like we ordered fries and 3 hours ago. She's like, "Oh my God, yes, you did order fries. Okay, I'll be back." And then she was like, "All right, you guys having fun?" It's like the fries. The fries though.
I like smoking weed, but I can't wrap my mind around my whole personality being like, this is what I love.
Yeah.
Yeah, No.
I truly think it's an age thing. I mean, for people who like maintain it throughout their lives, that's great. But like for me, it's this thing that I just kind of grew out of. I still smoke it.
Mm-hmm. I would say I do smoke every day, but now it's like a before bed thing. My boyfriend is the most functional stoner I've ever met in my life. He smokes more weed than anyone. He like wakes and bakes and like is like able to live life. And then
some
I forget it is medicinal.
Like that.
Yeah.
I've dated several men who would just from the time they woke up to the time they went to bed.
Yeah.
Like smoking tons of weed.
Yeah.
And they were like fine. It wasn't like we'd be together and I'd be like, "You're just stoned and you're not listening." It's like they listened better. You know, it's like, "I'd rather you go smoke a bowl and talk to me."
They listen better. I will say this brings it back to Star Wars, but I was a little stoned when I saw Rise of Skywalker and I made the mistake. Matt Whitaker and I went to go see it. In 4DX.
Oh, no.
Have you experienced this?
No fucking way.
The chair is literally moving the entire time. If a character turns to talk to someone else, you go.
I know. It's crazy.
No, thank you.
And there's water. They sprayed me in the face.
Do they warn you?
They do.
Because my wig.
Well,
I guess I'd wear a shower cap to the movie.
You'd have to go with your plain gear.
Oh my God. Just my little hat. No. Yeah. Makeup.
It was crazy how wet I was at the
but
end.
But you, as someone who likes theme park rides,
loved
did not.
It.
You loved it.
No, I mean, I loved it. I just thought I was a little nervous because, like, I went with a friend who's a little sensitive to that motion.
Oh,
and I was
dear.
Like, the whole time I was kind of like, oh no, now I'm going to have to worry. Like, is he going to hate this? Like, while the chairs are literally going like this. But he dropped in and had a good time.
You get used to it after a while.
You do.
Because Julio and I went to go see Maleficent, Mistress of Evil with 4DX.
Sounds unnecessary.
And it was truly wild.
You and Julio seeing Maleficent, Mistress of Evil in 4DX.
The stupidest thing.
Is so
but
dumb.
But truly on brand, I feel.
Yeah, very on brand for both of us. But it was just not necessary at all. And actually, we will be embarrassed for this in 3 years. Minimum.
No.
Right? I think it's so stupid.
What for the
No, for this trend of 40X.
Oh no, I think it's great.
I didn't even know it was a thing.
Oh no, you should
bad.
Honestly pick something so insane.
But where
do I go
out here?
I would imagine they have it at like any of the big
like City Walk?
Probably
City Walk. Any Regal in LA?
I saw it in New York with Matt, so that was like, and we saw it at a Regal. Yeah, Regal theaters have it.
Regal.
I love that movie theaters are trying everything to get people to come. They're like, we'll give you as much booze as you want.
Yeah.
You want food? We'll give you food.
Yeah.
You want chairs at fucking Swivel?
Yeah. This is Like a Boss 40XXXXXX.
Like a Boss.
Remember when Like a Boss came out?
We should have seen it.
We should have seen it.
Did you see it?
No.
I didn't make it.
I didn't make it to the theater.
It's for us. It's truly women and gay men.
Yes.
It's like the Nicole Byer, Matt Rogers, Bo and Yang of movies.
Yes, it really is.
It's not
it really
for
is.
Anyone else. But
it
but
was only
I,
for
I
us.
I feel like it's one of those movies that I'm just going to watch at home.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, and I'll tell you who was so funny promoting it was Salma Hayek. She was on every talk show being like, this is funny. This movie is funny. And it was just like, you could tell they were like, send Salma out and let her do whatever. But talk about someone who's gotten lost in the conversation, but who
Salma.
Is fun and crazy.
Salma Hayek is a good time.
She's a good time.
Do you remember when she breastfed someone else's baby?
No.
No.
What?
What? tell us.
I think maybe she's just had a baby at some point. And I'm not sure where she was. Hold on, let me Google this.
She was offering the titty to the children of others.
Yeah, she breastfed another woman's baby. I hope I'm not making this up. What a wild thing to make up.
It sounds like it tracks.
I mean, yeah, she's the giving type.
I mean, also, did you see Rose Domi's interview with her, Rose Domi at Out Magazine?
No, I didn't see this.
Like, somehow, because she's in the Eternals that's coming out
yes,
soon.
Yes, she is.
And so Rose was like, well, how do you feel about Marvel, like, introducing queer characters into the universe? And then she, like, gave just, like, a really sweet answer. She's yeah. like, I think it's amazing.
Yeah.
And we get to see, you know, people as, you know, gay people as normal. Not that they're not normal, but, you know, she, like, dips into this, like, really, like, yikes territory, and then she immediately swings out of it, and it's great.
I found it.
Okay, give the tea.
Salma Hayek said her decision to breastfeed another woman's child was an attempt to diminish the stigma placed on women for breastfeeding.
Well.
At the time, she was still breastfeeding her one-year-old daughter. So she snatched some baby. She said,
give me your daughter. Give me your child.
She needs
the titty.
Like, that's amazing.
She needs a titty.
Your daughter needs the titty.
I
am in the Eternals.
And then I'm like, what if that baby hadn't latched onto the mother yet? Because sometimes that's hard for women.
Right.
And then that baby was like, I love Salma Hayek's titty. And then this woman's just like, I'll go kill myself. Yeah.
Bye, mom. Look at these Salma Hayek titties. Once upon a time in Mexico titties.
You can't compete with
It's Salma just me and
titties.
Antonio Banderas on these titties.
Oh my God.
And a French billionaire, I think. Yes, she's a billionaire. Her last name is
so.
Pinot.
Oh, really?
Yes, she's actually rich as absolute fuck.
That's like Eve. Eve is married to a very rich investing man.
Yeah. Wait, good celebrities that are billionaires that you did not know. Salma.
Eve.
I believe Tina Turner. I think she's married to some.
Yes, I think you're right, and
European
that's how she can
businessman
because she lives in like Sweden only and doesn't come to the States ever. Julia Louis-Dreyfus, born a billionaire.
Yes.
Oh,
did you know this?
No.
Yes.
Like,
I don't know how.
Like, her family is like international. Like, I want to say they're like in shipping.
Oh.
Like, but I could be making that up.
Does this sound weird? Like, it does not take away from
how
I enjoy her.
No,
does that sound gross?
I think she's a very grounded actress.
Yes.
And she's very funny.
Yeah,
so good.
I mean, she's actually one of the tops.
So funny. Veep is so
it's
good.
It's absurd how funny
My
it is.
God.
Yeah. And it was one of those shows too. It's like, you know how people were like, oh, 30 Rock, you know, over the years, it's gotten, like, not as funny. I actually would disagree so much. I think we're just desensitized to how funny it is.
To the style of,
agree.
A style of sitcom that was, I just watched the 100 episode special again last night, and I was
so good.
Laughing my damn ass off. It's so fucking funny.
I actually think it hurt Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, too, that 30 Rock was so funny, because everyone is used to that level of excellence from Tina and Robert Carlyle,
I think. Yeah, yeah. But they're working on a new show that looks very Holly Hunter and Ted Danson.
Holly Hunter.
I mean, what a dream.
Truly.
I was like, is there a part for me? And they were like, goodbye, Nicole.
Oh, you have
How
to
could
be.
They even say goodbye, Nicole?
Like, no, Nicole.
Are you having your door knocked down?
No.
What are you talking about?
But you're undeniable.
No.
I feel like you are
no,
the biggest star.
I still audition.
Ridiculous. But
I still, I mean, it's interesting. Sometimes a lot of parts that I go out for go to unknown people.
Really?
And I'm like, why are we giving them chances?
Truly, though.
I've been known.
I did the work. Please just give me a part.
That's so crazy to me.
It's, but it's not like a path. It's not like a window that's like fixed in one place. It's like it will all come. I feel like I might just be speaking from a place of like total out of touchness, but it's I'm just like, oh, this stuff all just happens when it needs to.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. I think everything happens for a reason. I think you get things when you're ready for them.
Yeah. But you've been ready.
She ready. Uh-huh. Oh, wait.
You got it.
Did I just come up with something?
That was brand new.
Is this mine?
That's original.
Is
she ready?
Is this my catchphrase?
Remember that white woman on the red carpet? Do you remember?
Oh my God.
Do you remember that?
Yes. Okay.
She ready. She ready.
No, she goes, she ready. She's ready.
Yes.
And the she's is what got me. And then I retweeted it and I said, this is a hate crime. And people were like, you don't understand what a hate crime is. Oh, and I was like, God. You don't understand satire, but like just a joke. It was
it's
just
a
like,
joke.
What? Why would you ever think? I actually thought that was. And then Tiffany was like, that's mockery. And I was like, Tiffany, you don't get that I'm kidding. It was like a whole thing.
Oh my God.
Come on.
It's. Oh.
She ready. She's ready.
She's ready.
I watched it maybe 100 times.
Like it's Dora the Damn Explorer.
She's ready.
Oh my God.
Are you ready?
Well, here's the thing. We have to ask the question of Nicole.
Oh, yes.
Because we have not yet asked it. And here's the question that we ask you, Nicole Byer. Mm-hmm. This is the podcast Las Culturistas where we're exploring your culture that defined and helped curate the person that you are. So we ask you, Nicole, what was the culture that made you say, culture is for me?
Okay, I really thought about this.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is it? Was it like sneakers? Because I loved sneakers for a while. Mm-hmm. It was like fake nails. I loved intricate fake nails for a while. Is it wigs? Is it weaves? And I figured it out. It's reality television.
Yes. Wow. This is a huge
thing. And like
thing.
Talk shows specifically. Like Jenny Jones,
Ricky
Lake, and Maury.
Give it up.
Were my fucking everything growing up.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh, and Jerry Springer. Yeah. Oh, let's not forget about that. And I understand that a lot of it was staged.
Right.
But like growing up, I thought it was all real. I thought these people really acted like this in real life. And I was like, well, if they could be crazy, I guess I could be a little wild too.
But just how staged is it? Is there like a definitive answer to this? Do they kind of give actor situations or is it real people? Like what's happening?
I think they're real people, maybe with real issues. And then maybe producers like, put like a
narrative frame on it.
In their head to be like, maybe you say this to your friend who cheated on you or whatever.
Right.
Because if you remember, Jenny Jones, I think she ended her show because it was an episode where a gay man came out to like a childhood friend and the childhood friend didn't take it well and murdered that gay man. I'm like 90% sure this is
right.
The story.
Wow, I think you may be right.
Chilling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, like reality and like talk shows like that, it's like it toes the line between like, like is this like okay? Are these people well?
Right.
Like I love 90 Day Fiancé. These people are fucking
nuts,
fantastic idiots.
Yeah,
I love them so much.
But even the ones who aren't are like whoa. Like on this season, there's that girl who's in Jersey who's just like very much an activist, very smart.
Yes.
Who do you know what I'm talking
are
about?
Are you talking about Tanya?
Tanya, she's like
Tanya and St. John.
Yes. Yes.
You like Tanya?
Well, no, I'm not saying I like her, but it's like it's not just stupid people.
Yes. She is like an activist. She is like a hippy dippy spiritual person. She seems like a very like LA girl. But then you're like, the way she talks to her fiance is crazy. And then during their 90 days together, they only have 90 days to get married.
Right, right, right.
She left for 30 of those days to become a witch doctor in Costa Rica. And so you're just like, is this real?
Yeah.
It's so good.
And you truly can track like your fascination with the 90 Day Fiancé now, like back to like the way you latched onto Jenny Jones and Ricky.
And like when I was little, it would like inspire me to do things. I remember this specific Ricky Lake episode where this woman had her hair weaved up into a helicopter that worked. And I remember being little Nicole being like, if that lady could have a helicopter, I could have anything on my head.
Wait. She was actualizing what like Gaga tried to do during her pop.
Yes.
Turn herself into a human airplane.
Yes, this black woman did it, and she did it well. And she didn't flow up into the air, but she
did it.
It
work?
It worked. The propellers worked.
So wait. We're saying
what? Did I not answer the question?
It worked, as in it went, but she lift off the ground.
Yeah.
Because she couldn't have worn her body.
Or, like, the propellers on the side worked and the one on the top worked. It was amazing. I was like, this woman's incredible. That's the first time I saw like strippers on a stripper pole.
Yes.
I was like, I love that. That's cool to me. Like, these talk shows.
My name is Victoria and I'm gonna have a baby.
She's, I don't care what my mama says, I'm gonna have a baby.
I will give my baby whatever it wants.
And my baby was cold. I'm letting it give me a blanket.
If my baby needs a blanket, then if I can't afford it, then I guess I have to sell it.
Yep. I love those teens that were like, I fucked the whole neighborhood, so I'm going to have a baby.
I'm not having sex with one, not two, but three different guys. And the other my stupid mother could do to change my mind.
And then the poor mother.
She was like, Victoria, why are you doing this? Why? She was so sad.
The saddest person.
And Victoria was, I don't care.
I don't care. I don't have a baby.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God.
And I can only dream of acting like that with my mother. My mother was so strict. And I would like live vicariously through these teens who were like slutty and stealing. And then I loved when they went to boot camp and someone would scream at them.
They did that to this girl.
I know, they did that to this girl.
I remember like, Maury was having the time of his life because he was like, Victoria's mother, there's more. Watch this clip. And it was just Victoria direct to Cam being like, Mom, I know I told you that I never had sex in your bed, but I did. And I've had sex in your bed upwards of 100 times. And I'm not going
to
stop.
And then they come back to the mother. The mother's so sad. So sad. And Maury's like, what do you feel about that? How do you feel?
She's like, I feel bad. I feel really, really bad.
Also, okay, Maury, the camera operators, like, whoever told them to chase these people, yes. Like, was it a producer or was it one brave camera op that was like, oh no, good shit might be happening down there?
Honestly, they must have all, so like, good. Seen combat in their life. Like, what truly. Qualifies you?
And Maury, I think, was very particular in the way that it, like, punched in on people because it swiveled this way like crazy. Wait, what was could you pick a favorite out of those shows? Like I'm gonna say mine is Jenny Jones, but I'll explain
why. I think mine
was
Jenny Jones. I just loved Jenny because she would just try to be so reasonable and she didn't seem like she was in on the show.
No.
Like Maury has really like over the years leaned into what his show is.
Wow, he's still on?
Yes, girl.
Cuckoo.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes, Maury still comes on. He is so old and he's still going, you are not the father. It is in, those are the only episodes really now. Everything else is kind of like untouchable because like you can't send teens to boot camp now.
No.
And then you can't do like, I'm going to come out to you because like you don't know, these people might be fucking crazy.
Yeah.
So truly that's like all they do.
Yeah.
Or like, where are they now? You get some of those. Oh my God. I used
Springer,
to love the big baby ones.
What is it? Just babies that are big?
My baby can open the refrigerator. And I put a lock on it. And then you see the baby who's like, oh, it's the best.
Oh, honestly,
my God.
There is something to the narrative of you are not the father. It's always going to be satisfying to find out. It's like those makeover reveals.
Yeah.
It's like that and makeover reveals are always going to work. It's like I'm always going to see what this bitch looks like by the time they're done.
Yes.
Always.
It's high stakes. It is just high stakes.
You are not the father. And then if you are, oh my God, that is a huge thing to find out.
Yeah, it's great.
It's great. Jenny Jones was my favorite because she seemed so far removed from it. She was not in the same world as what was going on stage. Springer would like poke and prod in very like interesting
ways.
Well,
he's like porn.
Well, and then also like he would let his audience say shit. It was just like they would like dogpile on these people.
Yeah.
Springer was garbage.
Love that women would come out shoeless, prepared to fight.
Oh, yes.
Ready to go.
And I was like, I don't know if it was staged, but I was like, yeah, you can't just let people fight on camera.
No.
What if someone gets hurt?
But it's satisfying.
So good.
They really, you know, Jerry Springer's like bodyguard, the guy that would
Steve
like,
Wilcox got his own show.
Yes,
Steve,
he became a celebrity.
He tried to be like Dr. Phil, and that's why I don't like his show.
Oh, he tried to be like very philosophical.
He tried to drop it in.
Yeah, and I'm like, I don't know if you got a brain.
No.
So
yeah. But Springer made it work at the end where, you know, take care of yourselves and each other.
Yes.
Like, I mean, all those little like mini monologues at the end of each show.
Oh,
like,
yeah. He would always do the final word.
Final
right?
word. It was, those were always very well conceived, I thought.
I think
and
was,
that
like,
is gaslighting you into thinking that's like worth it.
But I guess the thought was probably like, we showed people an hour of trash. We better say like one redeemable thing.
Yeah.
I wonder if Jerry Springer still comes on.
I don't know if he's still on the air hosting the show, but if you're telling me Maury is still on.
He is.
So that's these people crazy. On television that are still on, like, I guess Pat Sajak, like, still hosts Wheel of Fortune.
Sure does.
Vanna White's still up there spinning those tiles.
Alex Trebek is still
Alex Trebek going to the bitter end.
Yeah.
Really. It's, I mean, those are like relics. I'm not even in terms of age, but in terms of like television.
Mm-hmm. No, but like those things have been on since the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, it's
like
crazy.
It's crazy. Maybe even before
it's
that.
Nuts.
That was that was culture. That was like a culture moment. When you, like, the 7 o'clock moment before, like, real TV, quote unquote, would come on, like the Wheel of Fortune, Jeopardy of it all. And then the dates. Did you watch soaps? Did you guys watch soaps? No,
my mother loved soaps. My mother would tape soaps. And then when she did laundry at night, would just like catch up on her stories.
Same.
Loved them. I couldn't get into them.
Yeah,
it's hard. But Passions, I would watch.
Passions.
And
I was an ABC girl, so it was All My Children.
Mm, that's what my mother watched. Yeah, and Days of Our Lives. And General Hospital.
General Hospital. Port Charles.
Mm, my mother watched Port Charles.
One Life to Live. Mm. Those were like the ones, because they all were in like the Pine Valley universe. You know who loves? You know who loves this shit? Ira Madison.
Oh, great!
Like, it's like a soap queen.
Of course.
But I'm telling you, some of these plot lines, it's like you wish they were still on because they are so fucking stupid.
Yeah.
It is basically You Are Not the Father, the fictional show.
I love that. Wait, oh my God, but how do you feel about the landscape now? Because you're like a multiple, you and Wendy are pals.
I love Wendy Williams.
Yes. Despite all the stuff that's gone down lately with Wendy, I'm still like, it's
here's the thing, Wendy is an old woman who truly does not think before she speaks.
And she means well,
she
ultimately.
Does. And she knows she's had her own issues.
Yes, of course. She's had a tough ass year.
Yes.
But anytime you go on, it's you can tell she loves you.
She is very kind to me. Yes. One of her producers is like, she actually thinks you're funny. And I was like, actually? I was like, that means she tells them that when she doesn't like somebody.
I bet.
Yeah, she's fun. I really like her.
She actually, we interviewed her for Vulture Fest like tribute. And she was all business.
Oh.
And like we didn't really get like the how you doing moment with her.
We checked in with her before the talk. This was May of 2018.
And I think it might have been in the throws of a tough time.
Well, she was still with Kevin though.
Did she faint in 2018 or 2017?
She fainted 2017.
This was after she had fainted. Yeah.
Gotta say, she served face when she went down.
Oh yeah.
It's gorgeous. It's
a saved GIF on my phone.
Oh yeah.
Dressed
as the Statue of Liberty herself.
Yes, like, is there anything campier? Do you know what I mean?
It's perfect.
Of course.
It's gay culture.
I love it.
Yeah. But
she knows what a moment that was,
I think it's also, it's kind of goofy that, like, people would pick on her now for, of course it's bad that she said the going down thing about.
What did she say?
So what she said was, this is a tragic story, but Drew Carey's ex-girlfriend was pushed to her death by a boyfriend or another ex-boyfriend, and she passed away. And so Drew Carey hosts The Price is Right, and Wendy Williams was talking about this, and she said, come on down, which is, like, brutal. And no one in the... I mean, we laugh because it's so insane.
We're not laughing.
No, no one is laughing.
Nicole, I'm only laughing because Nicole is stifling.
I mean, it's because it's so crazy.
It's but see,
you can't say that days after it happens.
No, you cannot.
Theoretically, it is a good joke. If you break it down, come on down is a phrase that is said on The Price is Right.
But there's
homegirl came on down.
Yes.
So, like, theoretically, good joke.
Yeah, I mean,
but
it's just a too soon situation.
Yes, and very too soon. I think it would also always be too soon.
Of course. Yeah. This is my thing with Wendy, and this is my favorite thing about Wendy, is that she did this whole tearful apology the other day about saying that, you know, people, gay men shouldn't do drag because women go through, you know, menses and all this stuff. And then she apologizes for it because she didn't know it was transphobic or whatever. And then she says in the video, I never, anything I do on the show never comes from a place of malice. Which is not true.
Which is like her being like, well, Rita Ora looks like a fucking bag on fire.
Premise of the Wendy Williams show is so she could shit on people on camera so that they would know what she looked like as she shat on them. Because she did that for years on the radio, and she was like, give me a TV show.
One day we were amusing ourselves by doing a Wendy Williams.
Oh, it was just Matt. I take no part in this. It was Matt doing a Wendy Williams impression.
Here's my Wendy Williams impression. You unwrap a little mint.
A cherry.
You take too long time to say
Halls,
anything, and you go.
Cough drop.
Looks like Angelina Jolie's in the news. And everyone screams. Well, Rita Ora's out.
truly will just spend 30 seconds in silence.
You see this picture of Beyonce?
She just keeps her audience in full-blown suspense.
Yes.
I'm here for
and
it.
And they love it.
Well, actually, you know what's happening?
What?
It's actually reaching the point in the episode where we do I Don't Think So,
yes,
Honey.
Yes, yes, yes.
So this is I Don't Think So, Honey.
Oh.
And this is your first ever I Don't Think So, Honey, Nicole Byer.
Yes, I've never done it.
Because we've asked you to do the show.
And I have not been available.
And you have not been available, but this is a moment in time.
A moment in time.
I also can't believe it's because we don't record episodes in LA, but I feel like this is like a podcast you should have been on 19 times already.
Absolutely.
And now that we're here in Los Angeles.
Just so you know. I've wanted to be on for a long time.
Oh my
well,
God,
I know. Literally, you've been top of our list. And then, like, when we
for
come
ages.
Out to LA, like, you're either in New York or traveling or whatever.
I didn't want to ask because I didn't want to seem like I was thirsty.
No, no, girl.
You're welcome anytime.
You are the creme de la creme.
Truly the ideal guest for
the show. Ideal goose. And that's why we said, well, if we're going to have a first guest, let's have it be the one.
Let's have it be the one.
Podcast queen. And so this. For everyone that's catching up, maybe you're a new fan of the podcast. If this is your first time listening because of our new daddies and mommies, iHeartRadio, thank you for making it to this point. What's I Don't Think So, Honey, Bo?
I Don't Think So, Honey is our 1 minute segment. We take 1 minute to rail on something against culture or in our lives, anything in general, while repeating the phrase I Don't Think So, Honey, if we'd like.
And going absolutely off.
It's about an economy of rage.
Yes.
So
I actually have one.
Okay, you have one.
Yeah.
So this is Matt Rogers' I Don't Think So, Honey. His time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey. Yes, we're going back to planes. People who have a problem with my ass reclining. Okay,
oh,
so all
yes.
of a sudden in the news, absolute fools are saying, I need to turn around and ask you if I need to recline. Bitch, no.
No.
I don't think so, honey. You're going to make this an issue now after people are already in my lap? For decades?
Uh-uh.
Girl, no. It is the Wild West up in the sky. I will be reclining as much as I damn like, as far as this can go, absolutely back. I do think so, honey.
30 seconds.
You tapping on my shoulder and being like, hey, I'm so sorry. Could you move it up a little bit? Because yes, I have been you. I have had
yes.
a man in my lap. And I don't like it. I don't think so, honey. So I am willing to have a collaboration, but don't think I'm going to ask
15
first.
15 seconds.
And I definitely don't think so, honey. The CE motherfucking O of Delta being like, I'm going to weigh on this with my dumb ass and say, yes, you should ask people to recline.
5 seconds.
No! I don't think so, honey. I don't think so, honey, that the coffee's bad. I've been drinking that.
And that's 1 minute.
Girl.
Wow. We were a lot of plane stuff this episode.
A lot.
It's a plane-centric episode, but can you believe this shit?
I mean, that video is nuts.
The video is insane.
Like, that man is a lunatic.
No, he should go to jail.
Truly, yes. Take him straight from the plane to jail. He is crazy.
And the fact that the woman had, like, the foresight to record it and not like, just be like, what?
Yes. She probably was like, stop it. And he was like, no. And then she's like, great, I'll record you.
Can you even believe that video?
People act like fucking children on fucking planes.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
worst behavior.
I've had my bad moments because I feel that once you get up there, you do become a different and darker version of yourself. But
yes.
like some people, like it's beyond.
But there's something recognizable in the guy in a way that not in yourself, but you're like, I've seen this man before.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Like very entitled and like, I need to get my way.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Also,
but
it's
you
just like,
also, he was in like the last seat of the plane. You chose that.
Yeah.
Or like you didn't pay enough money to choose a seat. So sorry.
That's the way it is. And also it's like, we are all at the end of the day, human beings.
Yeah.
And on some of those planes, you cannot sleep. When you're upright, it's your body. It's not a good position for the body.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
No.
I couldn't believe when he was shaking that seat.
So crazy, hard,
crazy. But like now,
she was just moving.
Now it's like the motherfucker that's in charge of Delta, and I say this as a Delta girl, is gonna come out and side with
right,
essentially him,
yeah.
right.
What?
Also, it's a thing where it's like, and someone wrote this in Vulture, wrote about this in Vulture, it's like, if there's a button on the chair that does the thing that everyone is allowed to do.
Yeah.
It's not up for discussion.
Yeah.
You're able to do it, so you shouldn't ask for permission.
Yeah, like, you didn't break the seat to make it happen.
Exactly.
Anyway, okay, this is going to be Bowen Yang's.
Oh, God, okay.
See, the thing is, Bowen Yang often doesn't have one
until
the last minute.
No, I have one.
He
I
does
have one.
Have one. Okay, this is Bowen Yang's I Don't Think So, Honey. His time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, motherfucking Jade Rollers, bitch. Mine broke in half on the way here, but then I realized, wait, this whole thing is bullshit. And I, for the beauty bloggers out there who are gonna come for me and say blah blah blah, who are gonna try to explain my culture to me, don't even try.
No,
honey. Look, Jade Rollers, you put them in the fridge and you roll them on your face and they're supposed to tighten your pores or like drain out the lymph up or something.
Okay, I don't talk think dirty someone, to me.
No. But see, this is not real. This
30
is like,
seconds.
I am picturing my mother when I was like 10 years old, just rolling around her face and being like, looking at it and being like, this is bullshit. This doesn't work, and putting it away. And that is locked into my memory for the rest of time. It's pseudoscience. It's not real. Oop. Even the Chinese people don't think it's
15
real,
15 seconds.
So if you're looking up a video on YouTube of like an Asian woman with a huge mole on her face saying, this is how you use a Gua Sha jade roller, and you believe it to be true, you
5
have
seconds.
To dispel that from your mind. Jade rollers are bad. They break and they're a scam on Amazon. That's 1 minute.
And that's 1 minute.
Okay.
And that if there's anyone I would trust for critique on creature comforts, it is Monet.
Oh my God.
Sashir, well, my dear friend, loves a jade roller.
It doesn't do anything.
She's got a very sick disease.
She's got great skin.
She's got amazing
but
skin.
But also she does other things.
It's not just that. It's,
no. It's the other stuff.
It's not correlation.
I would tell Sashir to her face that she has a very sick disease and it's taking over her brain.
Absolutely.
It's taking over her brain.
It's taking over her brain.
But there you go. I'm not going to invest in that one.
No, not at all. Please don't. Okay. This is Nicole Byers' time now. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. She's got
gonna one. Pop off.
She's going to pop off. This is Nicole Byers. I don't think so. Your time starts now.
Okay. So I was on www.oldnavy.com and I know it's not opulence. It's not luxury, but I was looking for affordable pants. Okay. And why, to my surprise, is Old Navy selling bootcut jeans again? I don't think so, honey. What kind of boots are we trying to cover with jeans? Also, if you were wearing boots, don't you want the people to see them? They're not straight leg. They're not flares. They're not wide leg jeans. They're just some middling in-between type of pant. Oh, who the fuck wants to wear it? I don't think so, honey. If I see on the streets wearing bootcut jeans, I will spit in your face,
15 seconds,
kick
15
your
seconds.
Cunt, and knock you down the stairs and say, you stupid fucking bitch.
5 seconds.
And then I will rip them off of you. And then I will sew them to a proper width and put them back on you and let you out back into the world.
And that's 1 minute. Essentially a helpful young woman.
Very helpful.
Bootcut jeans, it's true. People be trying to... And this is just when I'm wrapping my head around high-waisted.
I know.
I like a high-waisted. The bootcut, I cannot. No. Why? Who's covering a boot?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So here's the deal.
Here's the deal. Nicole has somewhere to be. She has a show. She's a working comedian. Catch her at Arlington. Catch her in Nashville. Yes. Please buy
her
book.
Get this damn book.
Please
watch all of
it.
Her programs. Listen to all her podcasts. Yes.
We love her so much. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank
you
so
much
for fucking having me.
Oh my God.
Thanks for like squeezing me in. You moved your photo shoot. Thank you so much.
Well, that's because we knew it was the moment and we could not push this moment later.
I had a little moment in between therapy and a show.
Yes.
Better hop on a microphone and talk.
Yes.
So thank you for squeezing us in.
So we were both squeezed in, and actually we're going to squeeze one thing out before we go, which is we end every episode
with a song.
A song.
You go.
Oh.
Give me one moment in time when I'm all that I thought I could be.
Watching Bowen struggle to pretend that
his
he knew that song
life. Bye.
Was-